I want to give you a little bit of an overview of Marriage Inc. so that you kind of get what we are about and what we do in the community. We are a grassroots community organization, and we are housed here on Olivet's campus. So our initiatives go towards the students as well as the community at large. And our mission is, as you can tell from our banners, is to build a culture of marriage in Kankakee County. 8 years ago, we discovered that the divorce rate in our county was higher than the national average, way higher. We thought, we've got to do something about that. And so we got together a group of pastors and business leaders and talked about ways that we could impact our community for marriage. And we do that in several ways. First of all, we prepare couples for marriage. We provide referrals to community counselors for marriage. We have gotten a group of 8 community counselors that have partnered with us and have signed off on our statement of faith and those sorts of things, so we know that we're all on board. And we refer couples to them for counseling. We promote community awareness of marriage through a variety of different means around the community. We established a community marriage initiative, and we got over 45 pastors to sign on currently and continuing to add to that. We partner with local churches in doing, like we'll go and speak there, or we'll do different events together, such as our annual date night and things like that. I don't know if any of you have heard of date night or have come to it, but we host it every year on Olivet's campus. Andy's smiling because he's come. But last year, or back in February, we had almost 2,000 people gathered for a big event, and it was a lot of fun. But we just want to get married couples together to rejoice and celebrate the institution of marriage. Well, that's kind of a broad sweep about our organization, and if you've stopped by our booth over in Chalfont, you may have picked up one or two of our magazines or the books that we are giving away this week. If you haven't stopped at that table, be sure and do so. And you are probably here because you're interested in the topic, or there wasn't anything else of interest at this hour. So whatever the reason was, we're glad you're here. But I'd like to set this workshop in a little bit of context. We're living in a completely uncharted territory when it comes to marriage in the 21st century. We are just days away from a decision from the Supreme Court that could, if it goes against us, potentially strip churches, universities like Olivet, from their tax-exempt status simply for believing in marriage between a man and a woman. And so if the people sitting in our pews, young and old alike, are going to hear about healthy marriage the way that God ordained it, it's going to have to come from our churches, our families, our youth groups, our Sunday school teachers. No other institution is going to want to tackle this subject the way we want it presented from a biblical perspective. And so we need to be able to take back the narrative when it comes to marriage. We are the ones that need to be God's voice on this issue. So in keeping with the theme of our conference this week, I'd like to challenge us here today to do a little re-ing of our own as we jump into this subject matter. And I've got 6 re's that I want us to consider quickly as we start here. The first re is I'd like us to consider repenting if we have been silent on the subject of marriage. I know my own boys grew up in a church, elementary, junior high, and high school, where we heard one series on marriage in that entire span. There's something wrong with that picture. No wonder our young people don't know what a godly viewpoint of marriage is. You heard one. So we need to think about, have we been silent on the subject? Second, we need to rekindle our own marital relationships so that we can serve as role models in the church and the community. It's pretty hard to talk about marriage when our own marriages are struggling. And so that's why we're giving away that book, Highly Happy Marriages. It'll put a spark back into just about any marriage. Rethink our own views on marriage. Are we part of the problem? Do we have such a negative view of marriage that we've kind of given up on it? And another gift that we're giving to you at our table is called The Good News About Marriage, and we brought several of them here. But this is a research-based book that's just chocked full of information that will help you as a pastor, Sunday school teacher, leader, to speak positively about marriage and with facts to back it up. You know, we hear that stat all the time, that marriage divorce rate is 50% of all marriages divorce. That's not true. When you dig into the research, you find that is a myth. And this author is debunking all sorts of myths about marriage. And it really is good news for us, particularly as Christians, because we're finding that Christian marriages are even stronger than what we've been led to believe. The divorce rate is quite low for those who are actively practicing their faith and living that out together. So that's great when you can get up from the pulpit and proclaim those kinds of truths to your congregation. Reconsider what could be done through your own church to strengthen and support the marriages around you. And then revision how you could use the couples that are sitting in your congregation to help. And then let's revisit why we should even care about marriage. Well, first, it's God's best plan for passing on the faith to the next generation. It's His design that illustrates Christ's love for the church. It's the healthiest environment to raise children, bar none. And even government research bears this out, and yet they don't highly publicize that. It's the best for the economy, and it makes for healthy and more vibrant communities and churches. We know that in communities where marriages and intact families are strong, those communities have better schools, less crime, less poverty, and we found that it's true across the board. And it's better for our economy. There is research out that verifies that marriage is the great wealth producer, regardless of ethnicity. Whites, blacks, doesn't matter. Married couples, their poverty rate is around the same, 5% to 6%, white or black, because it doesn't matter. But if you're single head of household, poverty rates escalate. So marriage is a great wealth producer and great for our community. Well, now I'd like Kathy Heck, my colleague, to come and share with you some very practical ways that marriage and a marriage ministry in your church can be an outreach tool.
All right. What we're using in our community is a mentoring program. And so I want to introduce that to you as our marriage ministry as outreach. I encourage you to rethink outreach. Many of you have already experienced the opportunity to perform weddings. Probably everyone in this room has performed weddings for people in your church. But here's a couple of other opportunities for you to think about. What about performing weddings for people who don't presently go to your church? And what about people from your community who don't go to church or maybe previously attended your church and they look to you for help when things get tough in their marriage? And I see some nodding heads. That's probably true of most people in this room. I want you to think about revisioning a marriage ministry with these things in mind. Marriage ministry as an outreach could be really threefold, and there are many ways that you can do this. We're just introducing this to you today. Premarital mentoring, marriage mentoring, and marriage strengthening. Please notice that I did not use the word counseling. That is a whole different aspect that we will not cover today. But I know what you're thinking. More work for the pastor. Well, talk about debunking myths. That's what we're going to try to do today. I'm a pastor's wife. My husband's been in pastoral ministry for 35 years, so I get what the load is already on you about this. I know the challenges you have, and the first one is time. You know that it takes time to do an adequate job of premarital or marital counseling. Many of you have already stopped at our table and you've said, I try to do 6 sessions at least with a couple. That's a lot, but that's a huge challenge. I want to look at each one of you and say this. I want you to recognize that it cuts into your own family time. It's okay to say that out loud. Generally, the people that you need to meet with have the same kinds of schedules that you do. So I know that that is a huge time commitment that cuts into your time. The other thing that I want to say honestly, and I can say this because I'm married to a pastor, he has not always felt confident about this aspect of ministry. He wasn't trained in it. And even when he meets with couples and with what training he has had, he hasn't always felt confident. So I get that part of this as well. So now I want you to reconsider your resources. What we do here in our community is train couples from area churches as marriage mentors. Who might that be? Well, it could be empty nesters in your church that have a healthy marriage and they're ready to help other couples along the way. In our community, we have many cultures, and so we don't want you to forget that couples from other cultures need to be trained and want to be trained, and we're happy to say that that's happening in the African American community, not so much yet in the Hispanic community, but that's my next goal. Don't forget people that might be parents of teenagers. Our goal here is to train mentors that have been married between at least 5 to 7 years. So they don't have to necessarily be empty nesters. And then another great group of mentors that we get trained are people with younger children. Now again, their schedules are crazy, but they can give hope to other couples when other couples that need mentoring see a couple with kids and know that you can have a happy marriage. That's a wonderful resource. Well, why mentor couples? Training them allows their marriages to be enhanced as well. That's one of the things that we consider. They can become a walking testimonial about the benefits of premarital or marriage mentoring. We have about 80 couples in our community that have been trained. They're not all active at this time. But pastors don't necessarily have to be the one pushing this. We have all kinds of couples in the community that when they see a premarital couple or a couple in distress, they're the ones that automatically can say, we have this program, and they'll explain it to the couple themselves. Then it's a way to invite non-church couples into your church. And I can use a very personal example of that. When we get a call at our office from a couple that needs mentoring, one of the first questions I always ask them is, are you connected to a local church? If they're not, this is a great hook to get them into a church because all of our mentor couples are involved in some local church. So that is another great way to use mentor couples. And the thing that I want to encourage you about is that mentor couples can lighten your load. I can't say it any more emphatically or more boldly, but I know that they can lighten your load. So I want to introduce you to the material that we use in Kankakee County and at Olivet for our mentoring program. There are many, many great resources out there. And I've talked to many people this week that have told me the resources that you use. But here's another way that we want to lighten your load, if possible. We use the Prepare Enrich survey for all of our couples. There are lots, like I said, there are a lot of great resources out there, but this is why it's wonderful for us. You can use it for premarital couples. You can use it for recently married couples. And you can use it for distressed couples. Premarital seems pretty obvious. But then we've had recently married couples come to us and say, you know, we didn't go through a mentor program. Is it too late to do that? So we've been able to assign them with a mentor couple. Then we for a variety of reasons, all of you work with distressed couples. You know who they are. Many times they know who they are. But this is a survey that even can be used for distressed couples. That is because it's a customized couple assessment. And another great thing is that it's completed online. Now you'll see in this particular one, this would be for a premarital couple. And you can see that it says here that it's the Prepare Enrich customized version. So their version is for an engaged couple. They're using the standard non-faith-based survey. Now, the great thing about the Prepare Enrich material is that there are 10 statements on the survey about your spiritual life. We just naturally get to talk about that with every couple. But not every couple has grown up in any faith background. So we even have one that's called the non-faith-based. And then this couple also shows that it's with the possibility of children in the future. So that's one of the typical premarital couples that we might work with. Now, more customizations are available. We have the distressed couple here. This would be a married couple. They grew up in a Protestant faith. Their children are all over 18, and one or both of them is over 55. So that's one of the customizations that you can use. Now, this couple would be an engaged couple, Protestant, with the possibility of children in the future. They haven't had children yet, and there are cultural or ethnic differences. So that's another way that it's customized. There are probably over 30 ways that this is customized, and that's all done with them taking the survey. The only question I have to ask them, you know, before we'd have to say, are you living together? Have you been married before? Those kind of questions. But the only question we have to ask them is, what is your faith background? Because there are different versions of that part or customizations of that part of the survey. So it would be Protestant. So all of our Nazarenes, Baptists go into the Protestant grouping. Then there's Catholic. Whoops. And other. So we can customize it for them ahead of time with that information. This is one of the areas that shows up on the survey once you get it back. And I know that Beth and I are very visual people, and we love this kind of thing. We can see right away what our strength areas in their relationship already and what our growth areas. So that's one of the ways that we can see it very quickly. Another thing that shows up is their relationship dynamics. And I wanted to show you this because four things are rated in their survey: assertiveness, self-confidence, avoidance, and partner dominance. I don't want to go into all the details about the survey, but one of the things that I look at when I get the results of the survey and talk to couples about it, the healthiest couples will have all of these cylinders going way up here, and these graphs should be down here. That's the very healthiest couple. But we don't always get healthy couples. And so we can show them this page and say, let's look at assertiveness. And it shows you what assertiveness means here. Because in our culture today, a lot of times we don't like that word assertiveness. But assertiveness is the ability to express one's feelings and ask for what one wants. So we can see that Daniel here is low on the scale and Maria is high. So we can tell them that as we go through the mentoring program, that's something that we can help them do, be able to ask for what they want. So that's just one of the ways that the survey is very, very helpful. The other thing about this report, and again, we won't go into a lot of dynamics about it, but it's very easy to read once you're trained. The page layout makes it easy to understand the couple very quickly, like I said. You can see that one of them has a high percentage and want a lower percentage that's showing up, and that's on every page. And then exercises are included in the report that generally help the couple communicate. And so that's included in your training. There's a workbook that comes with it. There are many goals of Prepare and Enrich, and I'm not going to read these off. We're in a very warm room, and it's after lunch. But it's so diverse in what it is able to help you see with the couple that, again, this is one of the reasons that we use this particular material. So let's think about retooling. How does the program work? First of all, someone from your community or church would get trained as a facilitator. That would be the starting point. Then, as to be helpful to you, again, not to add to your load, but to help you, is that mentor couples are trained that would come alongside you. Now, you might want to think about who would be healthy for that. Yes, sir.
Where do you go to get trained? Do you go somewhere to get trained as the facilitator, the first one there?
We actually can go to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or we can work that out, but yes, we're...
So you come down and spend time, would you spend time with a group or just the one?
It would really be better to do it as a group.
You could get a core of trained facilitators
right.
to start with.
Yes, you could get, yes, it could work a couple of different ways. Either train many facilitators at one time or train the pastor to be the facilitator, but have couples from your church be trained as mentor couples, but it's all the same training.
Okay.
Okay. But they would be accountable to the facilitator in your community. That way, the facilitator, the main thing about the facilitator is that they communicate with Prepare and Enrich to get couples online, registered online for their surveys. So you need somebody in your community to do that, and for somebody to really be the person that's accountable. Okay.
Thank you.
A lot of communities have a Prepare and Enrich facilitator in them.
Yes.
That could do that for you. But like Kathy said, we'd be glad to come and do training.
And you would potentially also have the knowledge of someone right in the area who might also be trained?
Yes, we can find that from the company. In fact, we can show you how you can find that from the company as well. Any other questions about that? All right, then after mentor couples are trained, then the next step is that the couples that need to be mentored take the online survey. And the great thing about the online survey, many great things about it, but your mentor couples also take this online survey. That's part of the training. So it does a couple of things. It shows you if they really are a healthy couple, because you'll see that from the results of their survey. Plus, couples that then need to be mentored, they're kind of hesitant about the whole thing. But if they realize that the people mentoring them have done the same survey, it's very helpful to kind of put them at ease. I've seen that happen a lot as well. Okay, and then your mentor couples are the one that provide 4 to 8 feedback sessions. So you can see that if you have, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 or 12 weddings a year, that this could save you a lot of time. It's not that you don't meet with couples as a pastor, but you don't have to go through the whole mentoring process as a pastor.
Is that 4 to 8 weeks?
4 to 8 sessions, and they're usually 60 to 90 minutes. But that's included in the training of how you do that.
Do it once a week? Or?
Generally once a week, Right, yes.
And kind of related to this, can this program also, does it have to run through the church? Or if you have, say, a therapist in the area, they could do this?
A therapist could do it as well. Now, usually with a therapist, there's a cost involved. The way we run our program is that the couple pays for the cost of the survey, which is $35. But then the mentoring sessions are done on a volunteer basis. But yes, if you have a therapist in your community that uses this material, they can certainly do it with couples as well.
The downside is it doesn't become an outreach for your church. You know, somebody from the community that doesn't have a church.
The reason I say that is I'm a pastor. I'm unassigned at the moment. I'm also a therapist.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you could use it.
Whether I can coordinate. Okay.
Yes, it would be a great resource for you. And the other thing I was going to say is that even if you wouldn't use mentor couples, if you want to use this as a pastor, I think personally that once you're trained in it, it helps you facilitate it in a much easier way than trying to just grab whatever materials you need to for premarital or marriage counseling. And yes, Kylie.
Does it have to be a couple or could it be an individual?
It can be an individual. And in fact, in my instance, or the instance that I'm involved with, I tried to take that load off my husband. So for years, I did the premarital mentoring by myself. The great thing about a couple is that you have the male and female perspective, but it doesn't have to be that. And in fact, the training material shows only men doing the mentoring. They haven't incorporated the training showing a married couple doing it. But if you're going to have couples do it, they need to be a married couple. Okay? Any other questions? All right. So, what we also want to encourage you is that this can renew the community. If you look at all of these people, they could either be mentor couples or there are people that have needed help and they look very happy, so they must have gotten help. But it can change your community. I think that's happened in our community. We're working across denominational lines and in fact have recently been asked by the Catholic Church if they can partner with us. So it's really taken out a lot of the sort of denominational angst that we're all in this together. A great thing about a whole community doing it, one of the great things is maybe there's somebody from my church that needs help, but they don't want people from my church necessarily to go through it with them. Then we can have a couple from another church work with them. But then if you have enough mentor couples in your own church, again, that's a great connection to keep those couples connected with your church. But we've done it in a variety of ways. So I hope this just helps you to kind of get the creative juices flowing of how you could adapt this in your community. There's many ways that you can use it. And again, we want to do it to lighten your load, introduce it to you to lighten your load. Yes, sir?
Okay, on the practical side.
Yes.
So we have, the couple comes in, we arrange however you do that for them to take the survey online.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We give them a website or however we do that. And then they take it. And then a copy is sent to the pastor, or he has access to it somehow.
Yes.
His code. And he can then
print it off.
And they do they also get a copy to the couples?
They now have facilitator's report and a couple's report. And so the couple's report can be given to them. I wouldn't suggest it until a few weeks into it.
Okay.
But at least at the end, you can hand it to them and you can use it during the times that you're meeting together.
Facilitators, one probably says things like, boy, he's really stupid. I'm just joking, of course.
But it is more in depth.
Pass little notes on.
Yeah.
Okay.
The facilitator's report has all the statements that the couple has been surveyed in, and it starts with at least 165 statements. So you have the answers to the ratings of those statements. They don't have all of that, but they have enough of it that it's helpful to them. Any other questions or things that I could clarify for you? Are you using materials right now, or do you feel like you've had to make up your own? Or do you mentor premarital couples, or do you just, you know, meet them a couple times and then do the wedding? What do you do?
I haven't quite done any of that.
Okay, you haven't done any yet. Mm-hmm. Have you performed weddings?
No.
No, okay.
Not yet.
I've met with them, walked with them, but not used any kind of organized material like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done that. I've probably done 15.
Okay.
But I've got my first divorce already.
Yeah.
We have policy in our church that you can't, you know, that's part of what we did. You have to go through the counseling. We use books.
Okay.
You know, we use various books. I'm familiar with that. I was interested in how you, the education or the affecting the culture beyond just premarital side. You sounded like you were saying you're trying to impact marriage in the county overall. How are you trying to do that? I knew the date night was one, like an annual thing. What else?
We've done billboard campaigns around the community. So, for example, one of my favorite campaigns that we did was we picked high-profile people from the community, several doctors and teachers, and we came up with the slogan, His Patients Matter, and then another picture of him and his family, or him and his wife, His Marriage Matters More. And so we ran multiple ones of those throughout the community. They were so well received from the people who would see it. We had a marketing person tell us, you are getting results from your billboards like should not happen. And I'm saying, well, it's a God thing, because we didn't know, we just started. And so that's been very effective. I will say we have not done a campaign in the last year we haven't done a campaign. Part of it, we're concerned about how Olivet might be impacted, because the climate's changed. You know, with all this same-sex marriage stuff, we don't know what that's going to look like. So we need to do another campaign and just see. We're just doing positive messaging about marriage. Another campaign we did was we featured dads. Dads matter. And we had the dad up there and his children. And then another one with the same dad, and marriage matters. It was he and his wife and the kids. So just trying to impact through positive messaging about marriage, because it's so negative. All we see are what's on the sitcoms, and they make it look like it's an outdated institution. So we do that. Go speak to churches about marriage and its implications, the benefits of marriage, that sort of thing. We just finished a black marriage event a couple weekends ago, and we had 150 folks from the black community gather. We brought in a speaker that would address, because there are specific cultural differences in the black community. The black community has stopped marrying. In the white community, we marry and divorce, and marry and divorce. But in the black community, they've stopped marrying. They are cohabiting, or the woman lives along with the kids, and somebody's coming in and out. And so the black community needs to reinvest in the value of marriage. And so that's what we talk about in these cultural specific workshops. Very helpful.
Another thing, and I'm not sure how this started, but our county clerk has our flyers and asks for them on a regular basis, and he puts that in the information about the wedding license. So we do get some calls on that. And again, that would be, it could happen that the couple's already married then when they call and ask us for help. And the other thing is word of mouth. We have done hundreds of these now, and pastors who are on board with us, you know, send them to us to get the survey done, and then they assign a mentor couple from their church very often, but it's just routine with them now.
Our goal is to have what's called a marriage ambassador in every church, that they can facilitate this sort of thing. So the pastor doesn't have to do it, he sends it right to the marriage ambassador. The marriage ambassador's trained. They've got married couples around them that are trained to be mentors. So when the pastor gets a request for a wedding, he sends them to the marriage ambassador, and then they decide who's ready to mentor. And so in the churches that are doing that, it's working well. Working very well.
I think you had a question back here.
Comment.
Oh, sure.
I haven't had a marriage lately, but I used to have a survey thing that I got for Family with Focus.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Focus is a good resource.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're just not as familiar with that one
right.
as we are with
Mm-hmm. Any? I'm trained with Prepare and Enrich, mm-hmm. and I've used it with couples, both as pre-marriage and then as...
Distressed?
Distressed, yes, that's the term you used. And it's really easy to use. I mean, it takes the couple an hour, and they do it separately. The wife does it, and the husband, they do it separately. And it's really easy, the information that you get, to sit down with them and process it and discuss it. And it gives you tools to discuss, all right, you need help with conflict resolution. We're going to practice this. And then you sit down and you just do it with them. And it's really effective. And I've even got my brother and sister-in-law, they've sat down and they've done it because they thought it would be good for their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely value in using this program. And it's not daunting as it may seem with all the reports and everything.
They also offer what's called a couple checkup. And that's a modified version, but just something good. Some couples do it every anniversary. They just do a checkup and see where they're at to give their relationship kind of a shot in the arm.
And the couple checkup, which uses the same survey but tweaked a little bit, can be used for a whole group. So you could have a group in your church, a Sunday school class, or workshops in the community that could use this. And then the nice thing about that is that couples don't feel so isolated. You can look at all the reports. There's a report that's generated, and you can see from this particular group, okay, finances are a huge issue for everybody. So somebody, you know, one couple isn't coming to you and saying that the finances are tough and they think they're the only ones that are going through this. It really helps couples not to feel so isolated.
That's a great tool for marriage retreats. Mm-hmm. You're going to do a marriage retreat with 5, 10, 15 couples. A couple checkup is great because then you can target exactly what topics need to be addressed at that retreat.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share one story with you. It's about a couple that we worked with here. And they've been married a year and a half, 2 years, and that's the new threshold. 2 to 3 year mark is the new threshold for a divorce, unfortunately. But this particular couple came to us, sought us out for help, and we paired them up with a mentor. This particular person did it on his own, not with his wife, although they had some sessions together with the spouse. And they worked, I don't know how many times, 6, 8, 10 times, and really turned the marriage around.
Mm-hmm.
This young couple now is one of our larger financial supporters of Marriage Inc. We never dreamed that that would come from this situation, but he was so thrilled with the help that he and his wife got from the mentoring that he in turn started giving back to the organization. But it really does work. If you check with Life Innovations analytics, the couples that have gone through this, it's like a 93% success rate that are still married at 10 years after they've gone through the survey.
Mm-hmm.
And so they call it marriage insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a neat thing.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yes.
You mentioned preaching on it, series or whatever. You were going to recommend, you know, how this fits in, what the local church should be doing. What do you have thoughts about that?
Well, I would have to defer that question to my husband because he's the one that goes out and does the speaking / preaching, and he has topics and even sermon possibilities for marriage, all the references and that sort of thing.
I just wondered if you thought a yearly emphasis.
I see what you're saying.
I was just wondering your perspective on a local pastor, how much we would be doing this in a public way.
I think my opinion is it needs to be once a year, somewhere, like a 4-week series. This year we had 7 churches in our community that all through the month of February they designated as marriage month, and they 5 of them did the same topics, and they just used Valentine's and our date night all as impetus to do a series, and it was great. In fact, I had a student come up to me, and I, he was helping with our date night. I said, were you at church this past week? And he said, yeah, I was at such and such a church. He said, I'm hearing marriage wherever I go. You know, college students, they kind of hop around church to church just to see which ones they like. Well, every church he was hitting in the month of February was all talking about marriage. Mm-hmm. So, but it's a good thing. They need to hear that. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know, I've been working with the courts for so many years, been doing a court-mandated seminar for divorcing parents mm-hmm. for 25 years now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking that, you know, there's lots of opportunities. If anybody does any of that, you know, it wouldn't hurt me in this three-hour workshop I do mm-hmm. every month
right.
to mm-hmm. mention things like
yes.
this.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, to see, I've already seen people who have not gone through with it because of what we've talked about.
Right.
And to throw an option out like this, there are a lot of couples that would jump at this. I know that. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. would say, one more time, I'm going to try at least something for the kids
yes.
or something. And there are people that will do this.
That would
mm-hmm.
be great.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we had an attorney talk to us about this very thing. Uh-huh. And, several attorneys in town, of course, everywhere, work with couples that are divorcing. And they just felt like there are too many that said, if I could have known this before, I wouldn't be going through the divorce. So we are trying to get something going with our own bar association here to help them know what to do.
Because a lot of the marriages, they're not violent. There are violent
right.
marriages
yeah.
that are bad.
Right, that's right.
But on the most part, there's a lot of people I'll see sit in a workshop and they're getting divorced and they're sitting, they've got arms around each other, hands on each other's legs. They say, we're great as friends and we just can't be married. Well, okay.
Yeah.
You're not that far gone.
Right, that's right.
So there's a lot of option here.
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm.
We like to tell people when they call us and one of the partners wants a divorce, mm-hmm. we like to remind people, this person, especially if you have children, this person will be in your life for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Why not invest that same time and energy into making the marriage work
mm-hmm.
as opposed to going through with the divorce,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be all sorts of time
mm-hmm.
and energy
mm-hmm.
and very unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of hit him with that.
Divorce is hard work, and you introduced me to the idea that there's some statistic out there to say that 5 years later, if you stay together, you are happier. But if you divorce, 5 years later, you are not happier. Mm-hmm.
In fact,
there's a clear difference in the two. There's a clear difference.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
In fact, if you stop by our table, there's a card there. It says, considering divorce. And on the back, you'll find that bit of research.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes you right to the site.
Is there such a thing anymore as legal separation?
I think so.
I've heard of that.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Why do you ask, though?
My parents did that back when they were married about 8 years. They got back together
mm-hmm.
and they were married to the day he died, and they'd been married 54 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they'd been, if they'd gone to strict divorce.
Yeah, who knows what?
Well, the no fault divorce kind of wrecked that.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Mm-hmm.
That started our slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want more information, I know we're a little bit early, but you can either visit our website, which is marriageinc.org, or you can also go to the Prepare Enrich website.